Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for being here. As mentioned, I'll be discussing the results of a nationwide survey on key aspects of emergency medical services, results of a survey from emergency medical services agencies as well as hospitals regarding pediatric emergency care. This project is funded through a cooperative agreement with the Maternal and Child Health Bureau. I'd like to thank my co-authors at the University of Utah Department of Pediatrics for their extremely valuable help in this project. And I have no relationships to disclose with this project. So to provide some introduction, children are not just small adults, but their medical needs are very different and require special attention. For example, children have smaller airways and lung capacity, and proper-sized equipment is needed to administer an appropriate amount of oxygen. Also, medications must be properly dosed based on weight and body size. Additionally, only about 8% of all EMS calls nationally involve children, so EMS providers simply don't see very many pediatric patients. Therefore, having proper knowledge, resources, and training are critical to being able to provide emergency care to kids. So recognizing these needs, Congress established the Emergency Medical Services for Children, or EMSC program, in 1984. The EMSC program's goal is to ensure that all children receive timely and appropriate care in an emergency situation, regardless of their location. The EMSC program funds various research initiatives and also provides grant funds to states and U.S. territories to develop programs addressing the emergency medical needs of children. Specifically, states are required to address 10 performance measure areas that have been developed to assess and improve pediatric emergency care in the areas of EMS, hospital, and infrastructure. So this study looks at the results of five of those measures, the results from a nationwide survey. The first two are on and offline medical direction, which are measured at an EMS agency level. The next is pediatric equipment on ambulances, which is measured at an ambulance level. And the final two measures are transfer agreements and guidelines, which are measured at the hospital emergency department level. So the methods for this project were the EMSC program developed a web survey to ensure data uniformity and aid in data analysis. The survey was developed with expert input and pilot tested before implementation. The EMS survey was sent to an administrator of each licensed EMS agency, which includes volunteer and paid fire departments as well as public and private ambulance companies. And the hospital survey was sent to the emergency department director or charge nurse at hospitals. States had 3 months to collect survey responses and could choose when the three-month period began. However, surveying had to be completed by March 2011 for all states. The survey to EMS agencies contained 31 questions, one of which asked about the services level of licensure. As folks may know, EMS agencies are typically licensed to provide either basic life support or BLS services such as oxygen administration and first aid skills, or advanced life support, referred to as ALS, which include BLS skills plus other skills such as advanced airway and administration of medications. The hospital survey contained 15 questions inquiring about the availability of agreements and guidelines for the transfer of pediatric patients. All the data were analyzed in SAS to produce descriptive statistics. We also stratified EMS and hospital data by the geolocations of urban, suburban, rural, and wilderness to see if there were any differences, as had been suggested by previous research. Geocodes were used based on criteria from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and were determined using the zip code of the EMS agency or the hospital. So results, respondent results, for EMS, a total of 49 states and territories used the program's web survey, with 82% of the agencies completing the survey. And for hospitals, 42 states and territories used the EMSC program survey with a 79% survey response rate. And as mentioned, states had 3 months to collect the data of their choosing from when the survey began. In aggregate, all EMS and hospital data were captured from April 2010 to March 2011. So So here's a graphical display of the EMS responses you can see across the nation, with urban agencies being in red, suburban being yellow, rural agencies are in blue, and wilderness agencies are in green. You'll see that there are some states that are blank because we didn't have information on EMS agencies in all states. And the essentially the same map for the hospital responses, and there are quite a bit fewer dots on this map simply because there are fewer hospitals across the country, but again by the same geolocations of urban, suburban, rural, and wilderness. And again, we didn't have information from all hospitals for all states, so some states are blank on the map. So the results themselves of the performance measures. The first is online medical direction, which is defined as 24/7 access via radio or phone to a higher level of medical personnel who can provide real-time patient care advice to an EMS provider at the scene and of an emergency. And our measurement was the percent of agencies, EMS agencies, that have online medical direction available when treating a pediatric patient. So this graph shows that the BLS agencies, which are displayed in blue, indicated that they have online medical direction available, or 87% of agencies indicated they had online medical direction available. And for ALS, those numbers were 91%. So the EMSC program's target is 90% of agencies having online medical direction. So it appears that this measure is being relatively well achieved. When we looked at the results by location, we found the availability of online medical direction really didn't vary much across these different locations of urban, suburban, rural, and wilderness for BLS. For ALS, there was a slight, about 10 percentage points difference between from urban and suburban, which were at 92, down to wilderness, which was 82, but otherwise it was fairly consistent. The second performance measure we looked at was offline medical direction, which are treatment protocols that guide pediatric patient care based on evidence and clinical recommendations. And the survey measured the percent of EMS agencies that have offline medical direction available when treating a pediatric patient. So the first question on the left, the first set of bars indicate if agencies have pediatric protocols, and 91% of BLS agencies indicated that they have pediatric protocols, with 99% of ALS agencies indicating they have pediatric protocols. Respondents were then asked if protocols are available at the scene of an emergency, specifically if they are carried on the ambulance or by the EMS personnel at the scene of an emergency. And so the columns on the right show that 63% of BLS ambulances actually carry the protocols at the scene of an emergency, and 90% of ALS ambulances have the protocols at the scene. So a fair drop for the BLS agencies. Again, when we looked at by geolocation, there was very little difference across the four locations for either BLS or for ALS. The third performance measure was pediatric equipment on ambulances. Appropriate size equipment is necessary to achieve optimal patient outcomes when treating ill and injured children. So the survey measured the percent of ambulances that have pediatric equipment as recommended in national guidelines. These guidelines were issued in 2009 and endorsed by several professional medical organizations and published in the journal Pediatrics. There are 35 recommended pediatric equipment items for BLS ambulances. For ALS ambulances, they include the 35 BLS items plus an additional 32 items for a total of 67 pediatric equipment items. So this table, representing over 22,000 ambulances, shows that on average, BLS ambulances carry 91% of the recommended equipment. Or stated in another way, an average BLS ambulance in the country carries about 32 of the 35 recommended pieces of equipment, while ALS ambulances on average carry 96% of the equipment, or approximately 64 of the 67 pediatric equipment items. So those are pretty good numbers. Now, when we looked at it another way, which is the percent of ambulances that carry all of the recommended equipment, which is essentially an all or nothing calculation, that the percentages are quite a bit different. This shows that 23% of BLS ambulances carry all of the 35 recommended equipment items, and 34% of ALS ambulances carry all of the recommended 67 items. Again, very little difference by geolocation for either BLS or for ALS in terms of the average percent of equipment carried. Now we switch to hospital-based measures and look at transfer agreements and guidelines. Transfer agreements are legal contracts that help ensure the timely transfer of children from one hospital to another when a higher level of care is needed. The measure was the percentage of hospitals with written agreements that cover pediatric patient transfer. And the results simply show that 59% of hospitals have written agreements that cover pediatric patient care transfer, 37% do not, and 4% were actually developing such agreements. Hospital measures essentially the same, no significant variation by location. And the final performance measure we looked at was hospital transfer guidelines, which are guidelines outline specific components or steps to ensure the appropriate and timely transfer of the pediatric patient from one hospital to another, again, when a higher level of care is needed. So we measured the percentage of hospitals with written guidelines, which include the specific components of pediatric patient transfer. So first we asked, or the survey asked, do hospitals have guidelines? And 69% reported that they do have guidelines, written transfer guidelines. So the next question was, of those hospitals that have guidelines, the 69% that do have guidelines, do you have each of the following 8 specific components of patient transfer? And the survey then took them through a list. And these are the 8 components of, the hospitals with guidelines. And they range from a high of 97% of hospital guidelines containing a plan for the transfer of patient medical record down to a low of 70% of hospital guidelines containing a plan for provision of directions and referral institution information to the family. So in total, we looked at the percentage of hospitals with transfer guidelines that contain all of the components recommended by the EMSC program. Only 38% met that criteria. Again, very little difference by location in terms of the results of this measure. So, conclusions. What does all this mean? Well, medical direction appears to be fairly well implemented at for BLS and ALS, with the exception that protocols are not carried as often by BLS ambulances. And so that may be an issue and need to be worked on. Ambulances typically do carry most of the recommended pediatric equipment, yet the majority of ambulances do not carry all of the items for various reasons. Fortunately, many states have found these results very revealing and are working with their medical directors to develop better on and offline pediatric medical direction, and also working with various stakeholders in their state to acquire missing items, missing equipment items for their ambulances. While the EMS measure results are fairly favorable, the hospital measures are lower. Almost one half of hospitals do not have written agreements with other hospitals to transfer patients needing a higher level of care. And most hospitals do not have written guidelines with all of the recommended components of patient transfer. Now, this does not necessarily mean that patient transfer is not occurring, but there's clearly room for improvement as several hospitals do not have these guidelines and agreements in written form. But again, the good news is that each state manager or each state EMSC program are working hard on these areas and sharing templates with each other and state hospital associations to develop agreements and guidelines and to update existing guidelines so that they contain all the components of patient transfer. Few of the limitations of the study, the data are self-reported and could not be validated due to study size. Although the survey was pilot tested with follow-up interviews, it is possible that respondents simply misunderstood or did not interpret questions as intended. And also, using standardized survey language was necessary to ensure data uniformity, but it was also very challenging as terminology and practices vary in state EMS systems. So, where do we go with this in the future? Well, with these new benchmarks, the EMSC program can track progress in these quality indicator areas. And when we do survey again, we expect to see improvement, as there's already been a lot of activity and interest generated so far from measuring these areas. Also, these performance measures are process-oriented and help us to understand the infrastructure to care for children. We do recognize that the next steps are to refine the measures so that they become more focused on patient outcomes in the future. Thank you very much for your attendance and attention. That concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
We have a couple.